What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
It's Zach Yelp Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio. Georgia fans, congratulations. Back-to-back national champions. This one, as dominant as it gets, just an unbelievable season, undefeated. Only had to sweat against Missouri and really Ohio State. And last night was just a massacre, 65-7. The largest difference of score in a bowl game ever. Just wild, wild stuff. Aaron Murray going to stop by 20 minutes from now. The former Dogs quarterback is going to be joining us. And does a great job as a college football analyst for ESPN. Hickey, I don't know about you, and I know that ESPN now with a great broadcast booth in Troy Aikman and also Joe Buck probably going to get now more marquee matchups, where if this was nothing against the booth of Brian Griese and Louis Riddick and Steve Levy, I don't think they're getting Tampa Bay and Dallas. I don't love Tampa Bay and Dallas being on Monday night. That's just me. Now, I think that Monday night game, I heard Moran say this today, so take it with a grain of salt, but I think he's right. It has to be a 4-5 matchup. So it could have been Chargers and Jaguars, which I do think is going to be a wonderful football game. And that spread right now is a pick 'em. So that is Vegas begging you to pick the Chargers, and it's starting to make me think, and I know yesterday I said I thought the Chargers were going to win early read on a Monday. That's starting to make me think that maybe the Jaguars are going to win. But I would have reverse Chargers Jaguars on Monday and put that to Monday and put the Cowboys Buccaneers on Saturday night. I always feel like that Saturday night game should be, and it always feels like that's the marquee spot of the weekend. Now it does get changed a little bit because you add in two extra seeds, so there's two extra games that are being played when you don't have two teams now on a bye. And before they added in this Monday, it was three on Saturday, three on Sunday, which that's a big-time commitment to make. So I'm not telling you I hate the Monday night game. It's just, to me, that Dallas Buccaneers game has major Saturday night wild card weekend feels instead of it being on Monday night. And I probably would have put Jacksonville and the Chargers in on Monday night, but I'm not the schedule maker. You okay with the schedule the way that it did play out?
I mean, selfishly, because we'll be here and not like kind of locked in and dialed in the whole time. I would love that to be on the weekend. But, I mean, in terms of viewership hype, I think I'm very excited. Yeah, Monday night, great
those
booth,
ratings
great
gonna be
game.
Astronomical. They
oh my
really
goodness
are.
Gracious, it's gonna be insane. That'd be the best, you know, most watched playoff game in a while.
So it says this game's on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Plus. Does that mean we get a Manning cast for this game too?
Oh, maybe.
Right, if you're listing three different things. I don't think you're going to have, I don't know, maybe you have Fowler and Herbstreit calling. I think they've done that before. But I would think you're going to have a Manning cast here. And for a, you know me, I'm not as big on the Manning cast as others are. For a playoff game, even if the Mannings are doing this, I wouldn't even watch the Manning cast. Because I sometimes feel like the focus isn't on the game. Maybe that just changed a little bit for the playoffs. But when it comes to a playoff game, I want the focus to be on the game and only the game. And you know that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will do that.
I'll be watching. Hear what Peyton has to say. Hear what Eli has to say. But, yeah, I mean, you would think, I mean, you're paying them all that money. Like, this is, I believe, like, ESPN doesn't have a division round game. I don't think so.
That
this
I don't know.
This is the last game, I believe, of the season. You got to bust out all the stops, right?
I think they do get a game next weekend.
Do they?
Oh, no, maybe not. I don't know, to be fair, because it usually, yeah, next weekend you usually do get, I don't know what happened with the new deal, but in years past, the Super Bowl, let's say if it's on CBS, I feel like they get one game that weekend. Then it would be, if the Super Bowl, I know it's on Fox this year, but if it was on CBS, they would get one game divisional weekend, then NBC would still get a game, and then you would get two to like Fox or something like that. I don't know what the deal is with the new TV contract.
So it's either the last game or the second last game. Either way, like this is, you know, there's not much more time. You're right. If you're paying the Mannings, let's, you know, have five broadcasts ready to go. Eh. No reason not to.
Did you like the McAfee broadcast last night?
Did not watch second.
Wait, hold on. You always watch the Manning broadcast, but you watch the McAfee broadcast?
How does that make any sense? To be honest.
Now, that's the perfect moment for that alternative broadcast when the game sucks.
It's 52-7.
Then you need a show. That's when I like the Manning broadcast, when the game sucks, because then it's, oh, I don't need the focus to be the game. Like, you want to throw on Little Wayne, I'm all good then. And the McAfee broadcast last night, I thought it was great. And how much just sexual innuendo they were just throwing in with the way that McAfee and crew were talking. It kind of made the game entertaining when there was nothing to be entertaining about that game. So
that's when you know you're great at what you do, when you can make a 52-7 blowout, and there's still time left. They still scored two more touchdowns after that. You can make a 65-7 game entertaining and worthwhile, because did you see the ratings otherwise? Oof. Not a shock, but.
Oh, what were the ratings? I didn't see
awful. In part because it's, you know, by the time anyone, you know, after the first quarter, there's no reason to watch. I think they're the lowest of the college football playoff era. Maybe
really?
The BCS era in terms of a championship game.
Yeah, I guess there's
but
no
that game's over
in
like literally.
Stick around.
You called it. I'll give you credit. I was hoping a little bit more, but first quarter's like 17-7. It's like, all right, good night.
Well, we even said it yesterday at like pretty much around this time where I go, if they don't hold them to a field goal here, this game's over. And you were like, no. And then you were like, you already said no, so then you couldn't say yes, but you kind of realized that too. And then ironically, they hold them to a field goal. And then that's a 10-7 game because they go back and they get the touchdown, TCU. So it's 10-7. And then after that, it was okay. Good night.
17-7, Georgia, the ball. I think there's their own 8-yard line. It's like,
we
here's the game right here.
Again. I go, and if they go get a touchdown and make it 24-7, yeah, this game's over. And since we both took, in just stupid fashion, TCU plus the 12.5 points, we're like, I was already ready to throw in the towel. You were the boxer that was just getting absolutely destroyed, but they weren't calling the fight, and then I just threw in the towel earlier, and you went over to me. You were kind of like Deontay Wilder up against Tyson Fury. I think that was the second time where they threw in the towel, and then he wanted to fire everyone on his team for giving up on him when it was the obvious call to throw in the towel. So that's the first and only time in life that you'll be compared to probably the Bronze Bomber in Deontay Wilder.
We do look alike with our shirts off. That's what I've been told, at least. I can't verify, but
yeah,
he's in the mirror.
He's I've a heard. Man. You're a frail little boy compared to Deontay Wilder. As Hickey just flexed, you can't see that. And even with him flexing, you can't really see much anyway.
It's a baggy sweatshirt.
Yeah. All right, let's get to a little overreaction or proper reaction. Hit it!
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All right, Hickster, what do you got for me?
Game we're just talking about on Monday night, Cowboys-Buccaneers. Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach, to say that the Cowboys will lose to the Bucs?
I think that is a proper reaction. I'm leaning Tampa Bay in this game. And I've been against Tampa Bay for the last month and a half, 2 months, just not saying that they really had much of a chance to do damage in the playoffs because I just don't like that team. But that defense is good. They could cause problems for Dak Prescott. And even though the Cowboys on paper have a good defense, there's been a lot of up and down moments. And for whatever the reasons are, just as pure domination, because there's been a lot of changes throughout the years. The guy's been playing football for over 20 years. Brady's never lost to the Cowboys. So if that game is close with 5 minutes left, I'm going to think that Brady finds a way to go get the victory.
Eagles have been leading the NFC for most of the year. They, though, do go in the playoffs, limping losers of two of the last three. Jalen Hurts' right shoulder still not 100% healthy. Look at the two seed, the 49ers, winners of 10 straight games going into the playoffs. So is it an overreaction or proper action to say the Eagles are not the favorites to make the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
I think that is a overreaction. The only other team that is obviously contending with them so far this year that you could think going to the Super Bowl would be the 49ers. They've won 10 in a row, so if you want to say the 49ers have been the Eagles, you could do that. I think Jalen Hurts played last week just to knock off some of the rust. I know he did not look great. Now he gets a week off. But I do believe that the Eagles are going to find a way at home for two games, assuming they win the division round game, then the NFC title game is home because it goes through Philadelphia, that the home field advantage is going to be a difference. Not that it's not the always the end-all be-all, but in a year where you just don't love any of these NFC teams entering the postseason, because say what you want about the Niners and how great they've been when they were 3-4, haven't lost the game since. Brock Purdy's still their quarterback, so we'll see how far he could take that. Jalen Hurts with the injury, and then every other team you don't love. The Bucks, no. Giants, no. Vikings, no. Cowboys, no. Seahawks, no. So I'm going to rely that the home field advantage for the Eagles finds a way to get it done. By the way, here's the full announcing schedule for the weekend since we were talking about it. The 4:30 game Seahawks and 49ers is on Fox. That is Joe Davis and Darryl Johnston on the call. Then the 8:15 game, which is NBC, that's going to be Tirico and company. Then 1:05 p.m. Eastern, this is going to be Dolphins and Bills. That's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. 4:40, it's Al Michaels on Saturday night. I thought that was a typo because it says NBC, but I guess Al Michaels is doing a playoff game, so that's going to be on Saturday. Sunday at 4:40, it's going to be Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson on Fox. 8:15 on Sunday night, Ravens and Bengals. That is Tirico and Collinsworth. And then Monday, to answer the question, yes, it's Buck. Yes, it's Aikman on one broadcast. There will be the Manning broadcast as well. So there you go.
There we go. In the AFC,
Zach, I wonder who's doing the game with Al Michaels. It just says Al Michaels. And it's NBC broadcast, so I doubt it's going to be Herb Street. I don't know.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe. Yeah. Sims, I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Won't be Drew Brees, Sims. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
After Sims.
Like he was last year.
Just foul mouth. How dare they put him on television? You cannot do that after that rant, that tirade that he had.
Probably guess 10 F-bombs?
My guess would be Dungy, I would think. Probably, but who knows. Anyway, go ahead.
AFC, the three teams we've talked about all season long is the best three teams are the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals in some sort of order. We do know there are seven teams in the AFC in the playoffs. So overreaction or proper action, Zach, to say we will have a guaranteed AFC championship game featuring any sort of combination of Chiefs, Bengals, Bills.
Yes, because the Bengals and Chiefs are going to play in the divisional round. The Bengals and Bills are going to play in the divisional round because they're both going to win this weekend. So one of those teams are going to go to the AFC title game. And if that's the case, you're looking at either the Jaguars or the Chargers to take down Kansas City. I don't think Jacksonville will do that. Now, the Chargers, anytime they have a lead against Kansas City, they blow it. So I do think we're going to see the Chiefs up against either the Bengals or the Bills in the AFC title game. So proper reaction.
Packers lose on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers' future is now in question. You think he is staying in Green Bay. Let's take that out and go overreaction or proper reaction. It's more likely Aaron Rodgers retires than plays for a new team in 2023.
So you're saying if I'm not allowed to pick my first choice?
Correct.
Which my first choice is obviously that he's coming back. So you said it's more likely that he retires than goes to another team. I think so. I think that's the proper reaction. I really do think the decision right now is, does he want to go back to Green Bay, or does he want to retire, or does he want to go be the starter for Green Bay week one? That's what I think the decision is. I don't think he's thinking about another team right now, but as Marco said yesterday, it was a fair point. If the Packers come to him, that's the wild card, and say, we don't want you anymore, then maybe that does motivate him to go to another team. But I think in his mind right now, it's between retirement or coming back and playing for the Packers.
Let's stick in the NFC North. We know the Lions ended their season on a high note. They finished 9-8, second place in the NFC North. A lot of people are not high on the Vikings. So as you take a quick peek ahead to 2023, is an overreaction or proper reaction to say the Lions should be favorites to win the NFC North next season?
It's funny how this works. And maybe you could say two great minds think alike in this case. Because I was thinking about next year, teams that didn't make the playoffs, who's going to make the playoffs? And right away, I raced to the Lions. Now, I don't know what Green Bay is going to look like next year. I think Rodgers coming back, but we don't know that for sure. Minnesota, I think, will take a step back next year, but probably still be a playoff team. I think a very trendy pick is going to be the Lions to win that division. So I think that's a proper reaction to have.
Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach's future is in question. We know he's been rumored and will interview for a few jobs, has talked to the Broncos so far already. Overreaction or proper reaction? Jim Harbaugh will be on an NFL sideline next season.
I just wonder how many feathers he's kind of ruffled in the NFL. Because you hear a lot about that Vikings interview where he walked in thinking he got the job and they were like, he annoyed some people and rubbed some people the wrong way. Now, clearly there's still interest from the Broncos, but the Panthers, he tried to go get an interview with the Panthers, and it, from what we could tell, it seems like David Tepper just said no. So I'm going to think he gets a job because I don't think he wants to go back to Michigan, but it's always there if he doesn't love the job or doesn't get offered a job. But right now I'm in the mindset that, yeah, proper reaction, he's going to be back on an NFL sideline, and we'll find that out, I guess, in the next few weeks or so.
And finally, we know Georgia absolutely took it to TCU 65-7 in the national title game.
You can say that, yeah, that's absolutely 50, taking it to someone.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's annihilating them.
15-0, the Bulldogs finished the season. It's always funny because people do always talk about this with Alabama. Could they beat a pro team? So I'll ask you this, Zach.
They did I know where you're going here.
Proper reaction.
They did this on the McAfee broadcast last night. I think it was Marty Smith, like, could Georgia beat the Texans or something like that?
Could Georgia beat, overreaction or proper reaction? Let's say the top three teams in the draft. We'll throw Texans, Bears, and we'll throw the Colts in there as well.
The Colts?
Cardinals?
No. Now, Stetson Bennett is 25. And we know Georgia is going to continue to send player after player in the NFL. But you don't have a full roster of grown men. In the NFL, you have a full roster of grown men. And even the worst of the worst in the NFL are still going to defeat a college program, even with how great Georgia's been the last 2 years. So to say that Georgia would beat them is just an overreaction to me. Okay, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we will continue to talk about those Georgia Dogs, those Bulldogs, as they are back-to-back national champs. Aaron Murray will stop by.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Georgia, back-to-back national champs. Undefeated season this year. And that was just a crazy performance last night. They annihilated TCU as they beat them 65-7. Now joining us is the former Georgia quarterback that does a great job as an analyst for ESPN, and that is Aaron Murray. Aaron, I would ask you how you're doing, but you're a Georgia alum, you're Georgia royalty, so I think I know the answer to that.
Yeah, life is good when you're back-to-back national champs. So now just enjoying it, man. It's been crazy to, you know, wait 40 years to win one, and then all of a sudden, bang, bang, you get two in a row, undefeated, perfect season. We know how hard that is to accomplish. And, man, I'm telling you right now, like, you look at that team, this team heading into next year, you know, next year's team could end up being the best of all three. They are young on defense. They were young on offense. They have a lot of skill guys back. Top receivers, top tight end, got two receivers in the portal. I think Carson Beck, the next quarterback in line, that I think is going to be given the job or at least win out the job in spring and summer. I think the stud and really is kind of waited his turn to be QB1. So, yeah, life is good right now if you're a Georgia Bulldog.
It's really incredible. Obviously, the last 2 years speak for themselves, but we used to do this all the time with Alabama. They would win. I don't care what they do in the regular season until someone beats them in the playoff. I would not be picking against them. That's now Georgia, where I can't pick against them until someone takes them down in the playoff for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and also, too, just them getting in there. I think even if there may be, like, one stumble along the route, say, next year, I think they've built enough credibility with how well they've played in the playoffs where, like, they're going to find a way to get in. And if you look at their schedule next year, there's nothing really that honestly scares me. It's kind of hilarious. You look at their schedule in their first four games at home, the non-conference schedules, a bunch of cupcakes. They did have the game versus Oklahoma that was, supposed to happen. But with the restructuring the conferences, they decided not to play that game next year, I believe would have been in Norman. So, it's a team that we've seen, go back to kind of your original point, it's a team that we've seen this year in big-time moments find ways to win, usually big. I mean, from the Oregon game, the first game of the season, went to South Carolina, which is a tough place to play, and absolutely destroyed them. Tennessee, number one team in the country, could have run away with that one, kind of, took the pressure off in the second half, won that game easily, destroyed LSU. The Ohio State game was a good matchup. I thought it was a great game, and, kind of the one team that kind of scared me this year just based on the fact that, that's the type of offense that gives Georgia, at least the past 2 years, gives Georgia the most issues. But, yeah, big-time games, man, they show up and they play in a big way, and especially Stetson, MVP of all four playoff games, including obviously those two national championships, is, just absolutely special.
How do you put it into words what he means to the program? Because no one could have wrote this script and authored this script of what Stetson Bennett was going to do at Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he kind of elevated himself in my book to greatest Georgia quarterback of all time. And listen, I'm not, I didn't grow up in Georgia. I didn't grow up watching Georgia football in the 90s and early 2000s. I'm a kid from Florida. My first Georgia game was Georgia versus Hawaii in 2007, that Sugar Bowl. But, being in Athens and playing for 5 years, you learn the history, you watch the tape, you learn the names of the greats, and you kind of see those highlights, and you talk to enough people, you kind of realize, like, who meant the most to, the University of Georgia. But, to see what he's done in 2 years, to play the way he's played, I thought he's played tremendously well, especially in big-time moments. To lead this team to an SEC championship, two national championships, to once again be the MVP of those four games, four of the biggest games in Georgia's history. He was the number one quarterback in Georgia history after last year's national championship. To me right now, he's the number one player in Georgia history just in general. And I know a lot of people want to say, oh, what about, Herschel? Are you an idiot? What the hell are you talking about? But, and I love Herschel. No Herschel, respect Herschel. Herschel's one of the greatest players of all time. I'm not, and this is where everyone gets, to me, confused, because I'm not projecting him as like, oh, he's an incredible NFL talent. Like, that's not it. How I view a player in college is this is how did you make the most of your 4 or 5 years? What did you do to better your university, to win championships, to set them up for success? And obviously, yes, Herschel won a Natty. Herschel won a Heisman. But Stetson has two, and he's done it at the most important position at the quarterback spot, and he's played the best of anyone in those big-time moments. So to me, you put all that together, he has been the best player in as a collegiate player at the University of Georgia, and I'm just so excited to continue to see, kind of what he can do at that next level. I think he's going to get a shot, man. I really do. I think he's going to get a shot to make a roster and kind of fight from there on out.
It's crazy when you look back at the last 2 years, because I wonder how much people were really able to appreciate Aaron Murray, Stetson Bennett, because before that semifinal game against Michigan, there was talks if he gets off to a bad start, maybe they'll pull him. Then this year, when he's a Heisman Trophy finalist, everyone is saying Hendon Hooker should be there over him. Last night, it was fitting in a 65-7 game. He was basically able to just give all the doubters the middle finger pretty much one last time, because you just can't take anything away from this kid anymore. And it seems like people just tried to bench him so many times in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, they continue to find ways. I mean, you talk to the coaching staff, and they try to bury him on the depth chart.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't even supposed to be the starter before that was a UAB game, you know, 2 years ago or a year, you know, last season. And, you know, Carson was, I think, you know, supposed to be the starter, you know, just wasn't ready in the coaches' minds. And, you know, Stetson went out there and threw five touchdowns. And they were hoping that, okay, you know, give Carson another week, see what we can do probably, you know, the next game. And then, you know, Stetson throws five touchdowns, like, okay, well, you know, we got to kind of roll with him right now until he kind of screws up and, you know, kind of just obviously ran away with it, and the rest is history. So, yeah, I mean, from even last year too, like, you know, once he won the Natty, it was hilarious because fans were like, okay, thank you, now leave. Like, you know, we appreciate you. We appreciate you helping us win a Natty. Appreciate you being MVP of, you know, the Orange Bowl and the national championship. But, you know, take your ball, go home, you know, go be a tax guy or a lawyer or whatever the hell you want to do in the state of Georgia. We'll take care of you, but just leave the football team. And Stetson's like, what? No, sorry. Like, this is my decision and this is my dream. And if I have one more year to play college football, I'm going to play college football. So, you know, it's just amazing to see that he kind of decided to write his own story. He wasn't going to let anyone else write it for him. And it turns out that it's a pretty darn good story. And it's one that, you know, people will talk about for ages.
What do you think he'll be? I know you touched on a little bit, but as a pro, what do you think he could be in the NFL?
Well, I mean, listen, look at the amount of guys that have played this year in the NFL. I mean, there's like been, 60-plus quarterbacks that have started a game. And I would say, you know, I think he projects better than 10 of them. You know, I was going over a list with my boy Cole Kublik on our radio show earlier this afternoon. And we're like, man, there's 10 guys that have made starts in the NFL this year that Stetson is a better quarterback than, or at least was a better quarterback coming out of college football. So I think, you know, I think the issue was, once again, the narrative was ran about Stetson that he's a walk-on, so he must have below average arm strength and not be athletic and not good enough. And that's far from the truth. I mean, the man has, you know, plenty of arm strength. I would say well above average arm strength, can make every throw out there, will stand in there and face adversity in the pocket, is extremely mobile and outside the pocket running the football, is accurate, takes care of the football. He does everything you want, and he's a great leader. So, yeah, to me, I think he's a guy that get drafted somewhere in that 4th to 6th round. You know, maybe someone loves him enough to possibly take him before that. But, I mean, I think he's going to make a roster. And I think he's smart enough and will work hard enough to, you know, to push himself to be a number 2, number 3 guy, you know, in his first couple of years.
Wrap it up with Aaron Murray, Georgia back-to-back national championships after their 65-7 drubbing, I guess you could say, of TCU. So Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, the two best coaches in college football. In your opinion, who's the third best coach in college football?
Oh, Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly's a stud. I thought LSU got a really good one, you know, being able to get him away from Notre Dame. And you know, you saw what he did in just year one there at LSU. And you know, the West wasn't as good as it's been in years past, but still, man, to win the games that he won, to be able to win that league, to make it to the SEC championship game, you know, put a throttling on Purdue there and what was it, the Cheez-It Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, whatever it was. They had an impressive year, and you know, they got Jaden back next year. You know they got talent on both sides of the football. Harold Perkins is a stud on defense, so they got two young tackles, freshman tackles that played well this year. Running backs are back, so I'm excited for him, man. I respected everything he did at Notre Dame, the consistency in which they played there. When you kind of knew that, you know, they didn't have maybe the best talent in the world because of, you know, some of the limitations they had when it came to recruiting guys. So the fact that he's now at a place that you know is going to have talent, like I said, the fact that he was able to achieve what he achieved in year one, you know, should scare a lot of people out there in the country.
Wrap it up with Aaron Murray. I just saw a few moments ago Spencer Rattler announced that he's coming back to South Carolina. I like what Shane Beamer is doing there, and you saw Rattler really come alive the last few weeks of the season with how they ended their year.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to have to learn a new playbook now with a new offensive coordinator, but You know, I thought he matured a lot in the system last year. And listen, a lot of expectations. You come in there, you know, a team that was good the year before, you know, average, you know, young coach, and you're and a team that had, what, four quarterbacks, a receiver play quarterback in the bowl game, a grad assistant have to, you know, stop coaching essentially to be the quarterback at one point. You know, it was very dysfunctional. So you get Spencer Rattler and everyone's like, oh my gosh, we got a guy that was, you know, projected Heisman guy the year before, a potential top 10 pick. And I just think he put a lot of pressure on himself early. You know, the scheme was different than what he ran there at Oklahoma. So it took some adjustment, but, you know, the running game really helped him out. You know, unfortunate that their top running back is going to the other USC out there on the West Coast, but he's a heck of a talent. Was obviously huge in those games versus Tennessee and Clemson in those victories. But played well in the bowl game. You know, defense kind of just couldn't get it done at the end. But yeah, it's a big victory for South Carolina. Shane Beamer continues to, you know, get South Carolina moving in the right direction.
Aaron Murray, do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to be back at Michigan?
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't. I think it's just been. Unless he's just wavering to try to get a new big fat paycheck, which I, you know, good for you. You deserve it after what you've done for the past 2 years. But I don't blame him, man. Coaching college football sucks. It really does. I'm not gonna lie. Like the hours these dudes put in, the you know, dealing with the transfer portal, dealing with
the NCAA and their nonsense too.
Yeah, the NCAA, the high school recruiting, the everything, man. Dealing with NIL and boosters and. It's just, you get no break, man. These dudes grind 24/7, 365. And, you know, it's interesting listening to like the coaches conference the other day with TCU and George, and both coaches kind of agreed, like, man, things need to change. Like, we don't get any time with our family. Like, this isn't healthy. Like, I want to see my kids. I want to see my wife. And I'm, you know, the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas having to worry about this transfer portal, NIL, and an early signing day while getting ready for bowl games. It's like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you know, it's just too much. And you look at the NFL game, yeah, it's stressful too, but yeah, you know, you got a GM, you got scouts who deal with a lot of stuff. You get more of a legitimate off season. You don't have to deal with all the nonsense NIL. You don't have to deal with the transfer portal. If a kid doesn't want to play, if a dude doesn't want to show up and grind, cut him, move on, trade him, whatever. You have more control. So, it's just, to me, it's such a better route and a better quality of life there in the NFL than it is dealing with all the craziness that it is with college coaching. And obviously he had success in the NFL too. So, you know, he's proven that he can coach at a high level there.
On the way out with Aaron Murray. So for TCU, I know it's easy for everyone to say last night they didn't belong because they lost 65-7 in the game, but they beat Michigan. So how do you kind of respond to people saying, oh, TCU shouldn't have made the college football playoff?
Well, they should have made it. I mean, they won the games they're supposed to win. You know, was maybe Alabama a better football team? Yeah, Alabama was probably a better football team. And
but they didn't have the resume this year, you know?
Yeah, they didn't win the football games. You still, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Until this thing turns into a 12-team playoff, you need to win the games that you're supposed to win in order to get in. And TCU did that. They had a great season. They had some incredible comeback victories, some gutsy performances. And obviously beating Michigan, like, yeah, they deserve to be in the playoff. They deserve to be in the national championship. Listen, no one would have beaten Georgia last night. You know, Georgia would have beaten, if Georgia played the way they played last night, they would have beat Michigan by 20-plus points. They would have probably beat, you know, Ohio State and Alabama by double digits. You know, they did not play a great game versus Ohio State. That was kind of a wake-up call for them. You know, like I said, the way they played last night, there was no one in the country that could have come close to them. They were that much better than everyone else. So, you know, unfortunate for TCU, they you know, faced a Georgia team that, you know, got, like I said, woken up the week before. Kirby was pissed off. You know, got to kind of tell those guys, like, hey guys, you won, but you played like crap, and we better step it up. And you saw a really pissed off Georgia football team, you know, in last night's matchup, and they took it out on TCU.
Last thing I'll ask you, Aaron Murray. For next year, and you talked about how next year's Georgia team could be even better than these last two teams that we've seen win the national championship. This year they go undefeated, just so dominant. Who's the team in college football that you think could be the biggest pain in the butt for Georgia next year? Is it still Alabama in your mind?
I don't think it's Alabama, to be honest. I mean, I think Alabama lost so much this year, and I know, you know, Nick is recruited at a high level for the past forever. and there's talent on that roster, but man, they got some replacing to do, especially the quarterback position. Like right now, you know, I'm not confident in what they have in that spot. You know, you lost the best quarterback you've ever had. You've lost the best defensive player you've ever had, and you had an okay season. Like, that should concern Alabama fans that we had all these, you know, NFL guys, two top five picks, maybe the number one and number two pick in the NFL draft. And we lost two games and almost lost another two against average football teams and below average football teams at Texas A&M. So, you know, if that's your season this year, and all of a sudden you don't feel good about your quarterback, you didn't get anyone in the transfer portal, you lose your running back, you lose your defensive end, your best nickel, safeties, I don't feel good about our Alabama. I feel better about LSU, honestly, in the SEC heading into next season. But, you know, if I had to pick another team, I mean, I love what Florida State did to finish the season off. You know, I love what they did in the transfer portal. I think they're going to be a really, you know, tough team in the ACC to kind of get through that one. You know, the Pac-12 is going to be interesting. They got some really good quarterbacks. Oregon, you know, with Bo Nix back. Obviously, USC with Kayla back. And, you know, Utah has Cam Rising back. And Washington is just loaded on offense with you know, Michael Penix Jr. So, you know, Pac-12 somewhat interests me. But I don't know, man. Right now, the only team that I can feel good about saying that I have confidence is not just because I'm a Georgia fan, but maybe it is a little bit, is Georgia to make the playoffs next year. I think it is wide open for those other three spots to see who makes it.
Aaron Murray, always appreciate the time. Congratulations once again. Thank you.
Appreciate it. See y'all.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, Hot Take Hickey is already slobbering and being a pig about the NFL draft, as he's already just assuming that the Colts are going to move up to the one spot, or even if the Bears take someone that's not a quarterback, that the Texans are going to pass up on Bryce Young, and Hickey doesn't even want to think about anybody else. I think he should be contemplating C.J. Stroud if Bryce Young isn't there and he's off the board and they couldn't trade up or someone else trades up. I don't know why he's totally dismissing C.J. Stroud, but I do appreciate the gamesmanship today that was played by the Chicago Bears general manager in Ryan Poles. So I think we all believe that Justin Fields is showing signs of being the guy in Chicago. And the Bears haven't ever had the guy at quarterback in the longest of times, if ever. So you look at the Bears quarterback situation, are you really going to move on from Justin Fields, even if some still have their doubts, which I think he's going to be a really good quarterback, and I've always been a big believer in Justin Fields, and run the risk of drafting Bryce Young because you think he's going to be transcendent, or C.J. Stroud if you think he's going to be transcendent? Now, if you think they're going to be can't miss, much better than Justin Fields, you got to at least contemplate that. But if you're wrong, you're setting yourself to get up to be fired, especially if Justin Fields continues to have the growth that he has in his career. But this was Ryan Poles earlier today in his press conference when he was asked if he's considering drafting a quarterback with the first overall pick. So that's him basically saying, we're going to evaluate. I don't intend on moving on from Justin Fields, but if during the evaluation process, because we still got to do our job, if I fall in love with Bryce Young and thinks he is so much better than Justin Fields or CJ Stroud or Will, whoever the guy is, then we'll go make that move. But the way I translated that, Hickey, is, yeah, we're open for business, but we could tell you we really like one of these quarterbacks. So if you're calling for the number one overall pick, don't be coming with some flimsy offer. You better come swinging hard early on right out of the gate.
Right. This is all, you know, the next 3 months going to be all bluffing. Everyone trying to put their best poker face on. Oh, maybe, sure, people think, and I at least assume it's going to be a foregone conclusion they're going to trade out at number one. But here's Ryan Poles saying, oh, maybe not so fast. You know, maybe we'll stick here and draft whatever quarterback we like. And that's just going to only up the price.
Now, I remember the year where, well in advance, the Rams traded up to the number one overall pick to go get Jared Goff. And then after that, it created a domino effect where then the Eagles said they got to go move up, where they made two trades. They traded with the Browns first, and then with the way that they moved up with the Browns trade, they then traded up another spot to go get the second overall pick. I forget who the team was in at two, but I remember them making two deals before getting, it may have been the Browns directly at two, but they made another deal first. I forget who the team was, but they made two trades before they were able to go and get the, they made one trade before they were able to go make the other trade to go get the Browns pick in at number two. I think you could potentially, not that the Texans are going to trade back, but I think that if the Bears are going to get this deal done, I don't expect it to happen on draft night. I think this deal will be done before the draft, Hickey, and maybe announced like a few weeks even before the draft.
Right, when you have the number one overall pick, you know, depending on where players fall or you know, get drafted, obviously that does impact if you're sitting there two, three, or four. Either your pick becomes more valuable because a guy that everyone covets is falling, or it becomes less valuable if the two or three players, you know, are already drafted now, all of a sudden at four or five, and not as many guys. So, yeah, if you're the Bears, it's going to be a bidding war. You're getting the highest price possible. And I think a team, like I said, will trade up well before whatever that date is, late April, by the time the draft rolls around.
And the Eagles, when they traded up to two, they made a trade with the Dolphins. The Eagles have made so many trades with the Dolphins. They made a trade with the Dolphins that got them in striking distance, and then they made the trade with the Cleveland Browns. But the Rams, people forget, they moved up into that number one spot that year to go get Jared Goff as well. Who could be your teams that are in play to trade up to the number one overall pick to jump the Texans? Now, the Texans are still in play because if they really fall in love with someone, you could tell Chicago, we'll come close to matching the draft compensation and you only have to fall back to the two spot and you basically still have the number one overall pick because you're not taking a quarterback anyway and you're still going to get a king's ransom. So the Colts are definitely in play. Here are two teams that are interesting. They had good seasons. They had good quarterback play. The Seahawks and Lions sitting at 5-6, do they risk draft capital in the future when Geno Smith has now the most passing yards in individual season from any Seahawks quarterback in the Lions? Saw good play from Jared Goff. Like, I'm just looking at the top 10 right now. Do the Seahawks and the Lions make an attempt to move up to the number one overall spot?
If you love someone, I would take advantage of being that close for a good season, and you would think they're both on the trajectory of going up, that you don't plan on being in the top five anytime soon. So take advantage of being there at, you know, picks 5-6.
And Goff has 2 years left in the contract, so you don't have to play the guy right away, even though that's tough to do now these days, especially when you pick him that early and you're giving up capital. And Geno Smith, he is a free agent this year.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to bring him back, but you know, it was a good season for Goff, and it was a good season for Geno Smith. Just two teams that I throw out there. The Raiders definitely in play at 7. Atlanta's in play at 8. Carolina, you got to think, is going to be aggressive. They're in play at 9. And is that really where you draw the line in the sand? Like,
for number one, probably. Like, I think the Commanders would be aggressive, but I don't think the Bears would trade down to whatever they're picking, 14.
And the Jets at 13, that's a big ass to move up to number one to go get the job done. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We'll come on back in 5 minutes. We got to get to a little news brief on the other side as the Bears make your phone calls because they're going to be trading down.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.